Well, we just sang about the wise men, and we just heard the scripture reading on the wise men. And as I was meditating on them this week, it seems to me that the wise men got it right. They got it right big time. They got it right as they offered their gifts most rare, as we sang, at that cradle, rude and bare. And you can get it right too. And if you do, you won't have to apologize like the little girl did. You may have heard of her. She had memorized the Lord's Prayer, or so she thought, and she got up to recite it in front of the congregation. And when she got to the trespasses part, she said, "Forgive us our Christmases, as we forgive those who Christmas against us." How do you get it right so you won't have to say that? What should we do with our Christmases, for which perhaps we need to ask forgiveness sometimes? Well, you heard it. It's what the wise men did. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How do you get it right? Well, it's just like we sang. As they offered gifts most rare at that cradle, rude and bare, so may we. So may we, with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to thee, our heavenly King. Why would they bring incense, gold, and myrrh? Well, fundamentally, it's because they knew by faith that one day he would be the king. And there was this window of opportunity to proclaim their loyalty to him before that happened, as there is for us. The book of Revelation tells us about what will happen when he does become king. It's the last book in the Bible. It's a book of prophecy. It's a powerful book. It's one that we call the Apocalypse of St. John. And it says that he'll come back to rule the nations. And that when he does, every eye will see him. And everyone will recognize him because he's the one that created man. And they will devote the wealth of the nations to him, it says, which means the tribute of all the nations to the Lord of all the earth with their kings led in procession, because this is the King of Kings, who says, "I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord." It will all take place in the holy city, which we see in John's prophecy. It'll happen in the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the nations of the earth shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it, their tribute, just like the wise men did, their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and much else. And they'll say, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power." And the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne, and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, just as the wise men brought their treasure, saying, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power." And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." This king is unlike any other. He'll come in more majesty and glory than all the kings that ever lived all together. And long before that, though, unlike any other, he came to us kind of in disguise, you might say, as a babe in a manger, so he could walk among us. He was like Shah Abbas, a Persian monarch who loved his people very much. So much so that he longed to get to know them and to understand them better. And so he mingled with his subjects in various disguises. One day he dressed as a very poor man and went to the public baths. And there he found a man who attended the furnace for the baths for many years, all alone in the furnace room in this little cellar. And when it was mealtime, the monarch shared his food and talked about with him, with this lonely subject, talked with him as a friend. And again he visited the poor man, and they developed over time a rich relationship, and the old man eagerly awaited his visits. Well, one day the Shah decided that he would, reveal himself and tell him that he really was a monarch. And so he told him that, and he invited him, this poor man, to ask a gift from him. But the man shook his head, and he sat gazing at his ruler in love and in wonder. And at last he spoke, and here's what he said: "You left your palace and your glory to sit with me in this dark place. You ate my coarse food. You cared whether my heart was heavy or glad. You may bestow gifts on others, but you have given me yourself. Now it only remains for me to pray that you will never withdraw the gift of your friendship." And so it was with Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a servant and appeared in disguise, in human form. And when he had walked with his disciples for 3 years, he said, "I no longer call you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends." Because the babe in the manger was a king who offered his friendship and so much more. But there's something you must offer too, because you can't have a friendship with someone, and especially with him, unless you give of yourself. He wants to share his life with you, but that can only happen if you give your life to him. He wants to give you a whole new life, but you can only receive it if you turn over your old life and give him his due by turning your life over to him. It's why he said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And that happens when you turn to him and say, given what I've done with my life, I need you to save me. I need you to save me from how I've messed up my life. I need you to forgive me for the sin by which I did that. We call that repentance. Thank you that you were born in a manger to die on a cross, to pay for what I've done, and to rise again so that you could come and live in me and start undoing what I've done, which he will do. Thank you that you were born in a manger to be born in my heart if I just turn from my sin and ask you in. And that you will never withdraw the gift of your friendship. The wise man did get it right at the end of a very long journey. And maybe you're at an end of a long journey. In God's providence, here you are tonight. Maybe it's time for a whole new life, to receive more than you ever gave him. So they got it right. They brought him themselves. And then they gave him their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Just as we can honor him before he comes, so he won't have to forgive us our Christmases. Well, how do you do that? Well, first, bring him yourself, bottom line. But second, if you do know him, bring him your fruit. He came to make us fruitful in our fellowship with him in a way that we could never have been fruitful on our own, which is why for the last 3 weeks in the morning service, we've been focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, on the tree of the righteous as our gifts to him this year. Gifts like kindness toward others and goodwill toward men, as he came to give and as he can give through us. Gifts that make his year when he sees them through us, which says a lot about him. It also says a lot about him that you'll get more than you could ever give him if you put on the fruit of the Spirit. Third, bring him your thanks. Remember what we've been learning in the book of Romans, that the kindergarten of honoring him like the wise man did is just to give him your thanks. So maybe before you open your presents this year, you might give him a gift first. Some of you already do this. As you're gathered around the tree, share the one thing you're most grateful to him for. And it'll make his year. Do this, live a life of thanksgiving, and you'll get more than you could ever give him. Finally, fourth, bring him your offering. We'll be taking a sacrificial missions offering in just a few minutes to support ministries, outreach ministries to the needy and to the world that are very much on his heart. Do this, and you'll get more than you could ever give to him, maybe financially, but even better for what it will do for you personally in many other ways. Just like he said, give and it will be given unto you, Luke 6:38. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and then running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. Because not only is he a King of Kings who offers his self, he's a King who offers his wealth. The scripture teaches that he demands his due as one day all men will see, but it also teaches that he richly rewards those who give him his due long before that day, who honor him before it happens, while he's still in disguise. He died and rose again so he could be with us in spirit. And so, yes, he's invisible, he's Emmanuel, a God with us. And it's not just pretend, therefore, when we give him our due. It's as real as when the wise men did it, if you have the faith. And you'll see, because he will reward you for it. As the song goes, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow, as we've seen. Still, the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. You can do that right now. It's like the story of the beggar, and with this I'll close. It goes like this. I had gone a-begging from door to door in the village path, when thy golden chariot appeared in the distance like a gorgeous dream. And I wondered, who is this King of Kings? My hopes rose high, and methought my evil days were at an end, and I stood waiting for alms to be given unasked and for wealth scattered on all sides in the dirt. Thy chariot stopped where I stood. Thy glance fell on me, and thou camest down with a smile. I felt that the luck of my life had come at last. But then, of a sudden, thou didst hold out thy right hand and say, what hast thou to give to me? He's saying to all of us that tonight. Ah, what kingly jest was it to open thy palm to a beggar to beg? I was confused and stood undecided. And then, from my wallet, I slowly took out the least little grain of corn and gave it to thee. But how great my surprise when at the day's end I emptied my bag on the floor to find a least little gram of gold among the poor heap. I bitterly wept and wished that I had had the heart to give thee my all. Oh, let's give him our all this year. Yourself, if you don't have a friendship with him yet. Your fruit, your thanks, your offering. So may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to thee, our heavenly Father.